Welcome everybody to the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders podcast, aka The Whip Show. Woo, on a very, very special edition Wednesday night. I know we messing with that explosion that's going on right now. That bang out there. But don't worry about that. You can watch that later on DVR because you got us. And this show is real special because I didn't just bring myself on the show. I brought my tag team partners, my cohorts, the three amigos are back together, and we're not in the NWCW Superior Championship Wrestling ring. We are on the show. I got Jordan Sly Scavone. What's going on, Jordan?
How you doing, Whip, Whip, Whip?
I am doing good, Doc. And for the first time ever on the Whip Show podcast, I got Slick Willie Gibbs. How you doing, Slick Willie?
Fellas, it's amazing to see you guys. It feels like it's been a year. I know it hasn't.
It was last year we saw each other, though.
Right. That's true. But no, hey, it's a pleasure to be on the show with you guys. Seriously, I missed this, so I'm excited to talk some TNA.
Let's get it, man. I'm glad you brought that up, man. We're definitely going to talk about TNA because some really big things have happened here recently. But first off, I got to shout out everybody. You know what you can do. You can watch the show on all social media platforms. Live, or you're going to be recorded as well. Listen to it on all podcast platforms, iHeart, Spotify, Anchor, wherever. And now you know that we're not only doing a podcast thing, you can check us out on Miz TV, on Roku, and very soon on 106.1 WAKT, Toledo's community radio station. We're going to be everywhere, so you can't get enough of us, man. But with that being said, man, we want to talk about TNA. They just had their Hard to Kill pay-per-view. Now, if you guys are been sitting under a rock, you don't know that they were Impact Wrestling for, Jordan, how long were they Impact Wrestling?
Oh, gosh. It feels like at least 5, maybe more years.
Exactly.
It's been a while.
And at the, what was the previous pay-per-view where they announced they were going back to TNA? Because you were
that
there.
That was at Bound for Glory. Yeah, I was there. I was backstage, right in the back of like the gorilla position. And it was so cool to be there because the only people who knew about it were the people who were in that video pretty much and like two production staff. So I was sitting back there or standing back there. And a couple of them were near, I think, Sabin was like here, and then there's a couple referees, and everyone was crowding around because everyone knew there was going to be an announcement, but that's all they knew. And so it was, you know, the majority of the locker room didn't know, and they were standing there watching the monitors. I stayed in the back because, you know, they're more important than I am. But I still got to, like, you could feel it, like, as it built, they're all like, what's going to happen? What's going on? And then when it finally, like, revealed the logo and they were coming back, like the backstage people were cheering just as loud as, you know, the front of house people, the fans. It was super cool to be a part of, even if like I had nothing to do with it.
And that's what was so crazy about it. I was there live. Me, NWCW owner Glenn, a couple of us were there to come support TNA and support you. Let me tell you, that building was rumbling.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of an old building there in Cicero. I was like worried this. The floor was going to collapse or something.
Dog, I thought it was going to shake crazy, man. Well, with that being said, like I said, that was the Bound for Glory. They announced, Scott D'Amore, that they would be switching back to TNA. And we know the historical name that TNA has, the iconic name. See, because if y'all don't know, there was a point TNA went head-to-head with WWE on Monday Night Raw. You remember that?
I don't know if this is true, as you know, internet rumors. I heard that one of the reasons that Vince didn't like, you know, at the time, Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona, is because he said his catchphrase was "Take care, Spike your hair," and Spike was the network that TNA was on. And he thought that if someone in WWE was saying Spike on a regular basis, it was going to get people to switch over. So like, they were at the point where Vince was, assuming this is true, who knows, probably only Vince and Cardona would know if it's true. But the rumor, you know, it felt real, you know, that's the level they were at that WWE really did care and competition was a thing.
And it was so petty. But that WWE, so it could have really happened.
That's what I'm saying. It sounds like Vince McMahon.
It's realistic.
I want to ask you, Slick, when you heard the idea that TNA, the name, was coming back, did it mean anything to you? How did you feel, dog?
Yeah, no, I think it, so it's, I think that people have been sleeping on that company for the last few years. Now, I know, look, I know there's a long history with TNA, Impact, Global Force. I mean, books have been written about it, yeah. Legitimately, okay? But the thing is, the last few years, I think people have been sleeping on it. And I understand why. I get why the average fan hasn't necessarily been tuning in. I understand that. But they should have been. And I think people are finally figuring that out. And I think this rebranding is giving folks an opportunity, a new, fresh opportunity to access TNA. This is everything old is new again, but it feels new. It feels fresh. It feels different. You know, I mean, they've been TNA before, but this is a whole new beast. And this is the beast that, like I said, people have been sleeping on for a few years. For years and years and years, we didn't have three legitimate competitors in the major wrestling marketplace. And I think that we've been conditioned for a long time as fans to just recognize two is the most.
Right.
You can only have two at the most, right? Like you're always going to have your WWE, and then you might have another competitor. We are now being reconditioned to realize there are more options for fans, for wrestlers, for new people coming in to the industry. And I think that for me, the TNA announcement was so exciting because I think they were showing the world that we're not sleeping on ourselves anymore.
Mm-hmm. I think we're actually what Eric Young said at one point.
It is something very similar to that, those lines. And this, I'll put it out point blank. I mean, my Impact hat is literally right here. I wear it almost every day. I'll put it on now just because I like to wear it.
There you go.
I have emotional and personal investment in now TNA. You know, I'm friends with people who work there. I've worked two of the shows and doing production stuff. I have a personal investment in it. So there is arguably some bias, but I also have, you know, 25 years of wrestling fan experience and 10 to 12, you know, within the business itself experience. And I didn't watch TNA and Impact for a long time. I followed it. You know, I made sure I was on the up and up and, oh, this person's having great matches, I'll go tune in. But when I started really watching TNA, formerly Impact, week to week over the last, year and a half, I really started focusing on it. Consistently, it doesn't feel like 2 hours. It doesn't drag. It's consistent quality. It's more consistent quality than WWE. It's more consistent quality than AEW. And I know every Thursday when I watch, I'm going to watch 2 hours and I'm not going to get bored.
I'm glad you said it, because I listen to Busted Open Radio a lot of times. And if you guys know, Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, and Mickey James are all on there, and we know they're part of the Impact roster. And that is one common thread that they all say. It is probably the best wrestling that nobody knows about. And we know that's because of the network that they're on. No diss to Access TV. No, I'm dissing. I'm knocking y'all. But it is a bad network. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, we know a lot of the guys over there. Like, we're going to have Jack Price on later on. Johnny Bravo does commentary with us. He's actually kicked mm-hmm. Slick Willie off the commentary table multiple times.
He doesn't do commentary with me.
Oh.
yeah, you've never called a match with him.
He just pushes me to side and then does the commentary with you two.
But you know what? I want to go right into – I don't want to go break down the total card, but I just want to talk about some of the pop things that really happened at the show. And I want to start from the top. The boy Nick Nemeth, formerly Dolph Ziggler, showed up in the main event. Now – he was just on New Japan Pro Wrestling with his brother, right?
Yeah.
You know, we thought that was the route he was going. He's going to stick in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He had an awesome spot there, talking about going for the title there. I believe it was the NJPW Intercontinental title.
Or whatever it's called now. Yeah. Isn't it a new name again?
I think they changed the name again.
But yeah, like I said, it's been a few things.
Homeboy just showed up there, and the place went crazy. And it's funny, he was just on Busted Open Radio, and he spoke on Moose way before even coming on there, man. What do you think a guy like Nick Nemeth, a.k.a. Dolph Ziggler, coming to TNA would do for a company like that? Either one of y'all can answer off top.
So I said this as soon as I saw him, and I was hyped. I've always been a fan. Some of my favorite moments in WWE, you know, the cash-in was awesome. My like go-to if I'm in a bad mood and I want to be happy match is the U.S. title match between formerly known as Zack Ryder and Dolph Ziggler. It's one of my favorite matches, and it's between the two of them. As soon as I saw him, and as soon as he hit that knick-knack, that's what I'm calling it now. He is Nick Nemeth. It's the knick-knack. You can take it to the bank. I looked, one of my friends was over watching, and I looked at him, I said, he's about to have a mirror of Christian Cage's first TNA Impact run. Where he came in really well respected amongst, you know, the diehard fans and the wrestlers. But a lot of your casual fans are like, oh, it's Christian. It's Edge's number two. And he ended up having this killer run, multi-time world champion. And I think Nick's going to have something very similar.
Nice, nice. What about you, Slick? What you think, man?
Look, I'll be honest with you. It was amazing enough to have him show up at TNA. Right, like anytime you have a big debut, a big signing, it's exciting, and he's a big deal, right? But I think a lot of people, once again, were sleeping on TNA, and they assumed because of his appearance in New Japan, because of his brother working for AEW, that's where he was going to wind up going. And I've got to be honest with you, that added even more excitement to him showing up at TNA because he's betting on himself. He's betting on TNA and the new TNA, which is a big, big deal for not just him, but for the company as well. And on top of that, to me, it set the standard for what they're doing moving forward. That's what it did for me, because there are options out there now, right? A lot of them. And he could have gone
directions. You know he has those options.
And that, exactly. He really legitimately does. And for him to choose TNA meant so much for that company, beyond whatever storylines he'll be involved in, beyond whatever matches he'll have, beyond whatever he'll do with that company during his time there. It meant so much for that company, in my opinion, because here's the guy who chose you. And that's good. That's a big deal. And not just a guy. Here's a superstar who chose you. Right. And so for me, I was surprised. I was excited. It immediately, as somebody who casually watches TNA, who doesn't watch it week to week, it made me excited for the future of the company. It made me interested in tuning in regularly going forward.
For sure.
Big deal.
And I hopped on real quick onto their website. And he is on their roster page officially.
Full-fledged.
Right.
Like it's not like, you know, when Okada and Ospreay pop up or something and do a couple matches and it's awesome. Like he's sitting right there on the roster page in between the Motor City Machine Guns and Oleg Brutus. Like,
nice. That's a big deal.
Well, guys, I know I told you we're going to talk more about the pay-per-view Hard to Kill and TNA moving forward, but I also said we got a special guest, and I think he just logged on. Black Diamond, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can we look at you, man? See that pretty face, dog?
Hey, man, I'm trying to figure it out. hold on. Let me see you.
Well, while he's doing that, y'all, first of all, I want to thank him, Black Diamond Jack Price, for coming on to the Whip Show. I actually had him on the show previously when he very first was the co-winner of the Gut Check Challenge. And now we got him back, man. It is good to have you on, dog.
One of my favorite guys, whenever we get to do a show together. We haven't done many, but, you know, him and I got some connections, similar roots within the Michigan indie scene. There he is. Always good to see you, Jack.
What's up, Jack?
What's up, going on?
So how you been feeling, man? What's going on? How you been?
Man, you know, I've been cool, trying to stay warm, you know.
I've been good. That's good to hear, man. And guys, I gotta tell you, Jack, I saw you on that TNA. What do they call it when they go back in time, throwback show? What's the idea?
Yeah, I think it's IPWF.
IPWF, man. And I gotta tell you, you and Saban were amazing, dog. When they pitched that to you, what did you think, man?
Hey, I was all for it. I'm down. You know what I'm saying? I just want my face on a camera. You know what I'm saying? But I was down for it. Saban's a good guy to learn from. Even though it's a fun show, it's not something, you know what I'm saying, we can we got to take seriously. But he let me give my input. You know, I got to call some stuff in the match, so that was pretty cool. So I like the paperboy gimmick. I do it. You know what I mean? It was fun. You know, extra, read all about it. You know,
I love it. Hey, I want one of them hats you had, bro. That hat was so dope.
So that last show, my plan, it worked though, but my plan was to keep that hat on during the whole match, and it stayed on. And I was like, I was happy about that. That's nice, funny, man.
We were just kind of talking about the switchover from Impact Wrestling to TNA, man. And like I said, I brought you on back when they were doing the gut check. You've been with the company for a minute now. You know, you personally, when you've seen the transition in this last year, how do you feel like people have received it, the wrestlers in the back? You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes people don't really want to change. You know what I'm saying? But how do you feel like y'all feel? Like, how do the guys feel?
Oh, we was all for it. I can't think of the show. Scott made the announcement, but they kept that away from. We didn't even know. Like, we didn't know nothing. We found out when the fans found out, and it was just like, OMG, you know what I mean? It was just like, you know, like growing up, you all like it was TNA, and he had, you know, WWE, and all that stuff. So coming back to TNA, man, it's like I grew up on TNA, so it's cool to be, you know what I'm saying, be labeled as a TNA wrestler now. And but to answer your question though, hey, I don't know, it's a video that's floating out there, and it shows everybody's reaction in the locker room, and that was like legit. That's how we all talked up.
Dope, man. Jordan, I know you got some stuff for him. Go ahead, man.
Jack, I know I've said it before in person to you, but you know, just get out on the floor. I'm so friggin' proud of you, man.
Yes, yeah.
Like Mr. Jack Price, you know, came from Flint, Michigan, worked for promotions that no one's ever heard of, no one will ever heard of, and to see where you are now, like it's literally one of the coolest things I've ever experienced. You know, we got to work shows together when you know I was calling matches and ring announcing super, you know, early in my career, and you were still young in yours. So getting to see you do that is just so cool.
Hey, thank you, brother, man. That's a beautiful thing. Like, never give up on your dreams, you know? Funny story is, I think I told Whip Dog on it when I first got signed. Like, I was about to quit. Like, I was like, man, I don't think, you know, man, it's my calling type stuff, you know? And then when I did the competition, it was, I put all my, you know, eggs in one basket and went to work, and I made it, you know? So, it's a fun experience, still learning. I got my first win at Final Revolution, so, you know, things on the up and up, hopefully, and we'll see where it goes.
That's what's up, Jack. And Jack, one thing about you too, man, I know you still do some indie shows or whatever, but you being part of TNA, I know they still allow you guys from time to time to do some indie shows, right?
Yes, sir.
So do you get the working so many different people from around the world? Do you like that too, man? And what type of stuff do you bring back to TNA when you come back in front of those guys?
So I do like it. I like the thing with wrestling, man. You gotta work people that's better than you. That's the only way you're gonna get better, you know. So I want the best of the best competition. And when I stepped foot in TNA, you know, just my first time saying it, I was scared as life. I was like, man, I don't think I'm supposed to be here, you know.
Oh, damn, I did.
Like, man, you know, so, but once I got in the ring, I was like, man, I'm supposed to be here, you know what I mean? So to answer your question, you know, I like working long competition, anybody, you know, I'm down to work anybody. I've been traveling and So what I bring back is just more knowledge. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just more knowledge coming back. I'm trying to be top dog one day. So yeah.
I like to hear that.
Willie, we gotta get you in that next X Division match. I wanna yes. see you getting that X.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you spray paint it black or something.
You feel me? Put some bedazzles on it.
Mm-hmm.
Willie, I know you got Frick something. That X Go out. Ahead, Willie.
Yeah, man, I gotta tell you, Jack, like I had the opportunity to call one of your matches with formerly NWCW, now SCW, and I don't think I've been more nervous to call a match in my very, very short commentary career. In a good way. I'm like, how am I going to keep up with this guy? I did okay. But no, man, I just, look, being able to meet you, man, it's been a pleasure. You're just a good dude all around, and I'm super excited to see what the future holds for you in the new TNA. I think the future is bright, and I'll be honest with you, man. One of my now that Nick's involved, one of my matches I'm hoping for. I want some Black Diamond versus some Nick Nemeth, man.
Into my veins, injected into my veins.
Hey, once that signing happened, and like you know, it's made public, whatever. You should have seen my inbox. Everybody.
Let's go.
And it's like, oh, you too, for sure. You know all that. So that's yep. cool that you know people put me in that category. So but I'm down. I'm down with whoever they put me in front of. They better be ready. You know what I mean? So hopefully 2024 we can make that happen though.
And that's so dope, man. I'm glad you said that because I'm about to get with you, though, bro. I got to get with you. Now, being a guy that you're not a newcomer to wrestling, but obviously a relatively newcomer to TNA. But having some of these big-name guys coming in, you had AJ Francis, Nick Nemeth. I mean, people, and let's be honest, it's going to probably be more people coming down the pipe in 2024. You talked about being a little bit nervous before. Seeing all these guys that were world champions and part of the biggest companies in the world. Does that shake you a little bit, or does it just make you want to just go harder, dog?
Oh, it makes you want to go harder. Now, like, I got over that honeymoon phase. Now I'm ready. Now y'all about to know me. Like, who's this Jack Price guy? Like, this guy put me in work, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, my slogan now is pressure. You know, pressure make diamonds, you know what I'm saying? So I want all the pressure. Like, bring it. Like, I don't care what type of name you is. Like, when you in a ring with me, hey, we even. You finna see me even.
That's what I like to hear, man. That's what I like to hear. Well, Jack, like I said, I didn't want to keep you too long. I know you're busy, man. By the way, you're looking good too, boy. You've been hitting the gym hard, huh?
Hey, I'm trying to swim up now. You know, I'm swimming up, trying to get ready. You know, I'm on this diet, man. Dieting is so hard. I didn't know it was that hard. You know, like it's so hard. And then like I got three little girls. And, you know, they love junk food, so I'm just looking at them eat like, man, let me just get a little bit. Can I get a little bit? But nah, you know, but I'm, it's not all about wrestling. It's all about the look, too, you know what I mean? Yeah. So you gotta look good, you gotta play good, you gotta wrestle good. So I'm trying to be the total package. I'm trying to be 2024 is my year, so I'm dedicated. So,
I know what I'm going to do then. Next time I do a taco challenge or a food challenge, I'm going to block you so you don't see it, so you don't want to eat the food too, dog. I got you, baby. I got you.
Oh, man. I appreciate that because that food be looking good every time. I'm like,
oh, man.
It does. He'll eat stuff I don't even like, and I'm like, oh, I'm go for some of that.
Well, like I say, Jack, thank you again for your time, dog. But is there any more words you want to drop to the people about what we should look for 2024 for the Black Diamond, man?
Oh, W's. That's what y'all should look for. W's all 2024. Nah, you know, progression. I'm just trying to be a better person, better man, better wrestler. Still learning the game, and just keep supporting. Like that support keep me dry. Driving
me
to get to the top, so
no doubt, man. No doubt, like they the fella said earlier, we are definitely proud of you, homeboy. So keep doing what you're doing, and we're gonna always be there for you, my guy.
All right, my guy.
All right, take care, baby.
Thank you, Jack. Good to see you.
See you, Jack.
All right, man.
Now, fellas, woo, That was good to get Black Diamond a little pop in right quick, fellas.
Oh, once it clicks and the fans get him, and you know, I can't speak for management, obviously. Once they get behind him, I genuinely think, you know, you're looking at a future at least multi-time X Division champion. But I would not count a world title run, you know, out within the next
Jordan, we talked about this, and Whit, we talked about this on commentary when we were doing one of his matches there at NWCW, SCW, and like he walks through the curtain, and there is an immediate, it's this intangible thing. Mm-hmm. You haven't even seen, I hadn't even seen the guy in the ring really beyond a couple of matches on YouTube, and I went, oh my God, this guy's a star. Mm-hmm. Like there was no. And you can't create that. I don't feel like not.
Yeah. You can stimulate it, and you can augment it with a really cool entrance,
sure,
or something like that. But I mean, we're talking. You saw him at one of our shows at Kudos in Taylor, Michigan, and it's a nice place.
Sure,
but like no, there's a difference when a Jack Price walks out and absolutely. When you know your local Fed champion walks out, like
yeah.
They have there's just that energy, and he has it, and he always has. That's the thing, you know. As long as I've seen him, and I think the first time I ring announced him was like 8 years ago, and I like talked to him backstage, and the first time that I met him, what's your information? Blah blah blah. Oh, and just like he is now, he's kind of quiet. He's really nice. He's humble. And the second like his music hits and he comes out, yep. And I'm ringing announcing him, and I look over at him, and I'm like, yeah, that's a guy. Like that, yeah. Yeah.
And you know what, guys? Anybody out there watching or listening to this audio podcast, make sure you check him out. Black Diamond against Nate Mattson. They were actually at our NWCW show. It's on Impact Wrestling. Digital exclusive match. Check it out. But I want to get back into TNA Hard to Kill, man. There was another big debut. Well, big in another sense. AJ Francis, formerly Top Dollar. So I see this.
He's looking good, by the way. He's looking good.
I thought so, too, man. Yeah. But I'm watching the clip, and I'm like, oh, my God. They're going to – and I'm trying not to swear anymore because we're trying to get on the radio. So I'm trying to watch my words. But I'm like, the fans are going to poo-poo on this. When he came out with DJ Who Kid, I'm like – and they played the video. But then Joe Hendry intercepted that. And I tell you, it went from being like, oh, God, this is going to be terrible, to this is like the best segment on the show. It was so funny. It was
really funny. And honestly, I'm kind of surprised. I'm kind of surprised, not that it was funny, because I've seen AJ in different things. And obviously, Joe is hilarious. But Joe's so popular. I was surprised that like he was – you knew something was going to come out. Honestly, I was thinking it was going to be like a Jay Vidal from Giselle Shaw's Chantourage. Okay. I thought he was going to be the one to do it.
Real quick, they didn't even give AJ video play like what, 30 seconds?
Yeah, it wasn't that long. Although, do you know what this means?
I can't get him on the show now because he's going to be under contract.
Besides that, we are going to get a Joe Hendry music video about AJ Francis.
No.
And I swear to God, if it's not called Flop Dollar.
Whoa, it's going to be better than the one that they showed already?
Did they do a full one? I missed parts of it.
Okay, yeah. And he had like a doll, an effigy or whatever you call it,
with
Top Dollar's face on it. And he kept trying to jump over the top rope. And he kept flopping. And he said, the only thing you'll ever be champion of is the Cheez-Its. Because he's been walking around as the Cheese and champion.
I like had to catch up on it. I was so annoyed. We were watching on Fight the pre-show, but it wasn't the pre-show. It was like the last week's episode of Impact was on Fight instead with Tom like doing the rundown. And I was like, oh, this must be it. And they're just doing a pre-roll. I thought it was a live pre-show. And then I'm like, if I get a Facebook notification, it's like Crazy Steve has won the Digital Media Championship. And I'm like, where's that happening? So I had to like go back and try and catch up on everything that I could find. I somehow missed that. Now I gotta bookmark it on YouTube.
I do think it was smart that they just addressed that whole Flop Dollar thing right out of the gate, though. Honestly,
try to ignore it, yeah.
Because the thing is, like, if you try to ignore it and you try to bring him out without acknowledging the fact that, unfortunately, that was a big part of his exposure with the previous company he was with. I feel like you're doing everybody a disservice. We all know about it. It is what it is. So acknowledge it, make it part of a storyline, and hopefully the fans are able to, you know, gravitate towards him and move past that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's smart. When you embrace, and I always, when you embrace things, you can make it so much better. Like, look at R-Truth's gimmick in WWE real quick. His whole gimmick is that he's dumb and that he forgets things. And if he's not the funniest person on that show week to week, and it's because he commits to it, and it doesn't deteriorate his in-ring skill.
At all.
You could slot him into, you know, a tag title match, a U.S. title match, whatever, right now, and it'd be believable because he's just that good. But he's also, and same with Santino.
Yeah.
Santino is literally, like, and in TNA, he's still doing the same thing. He's so funny. And the fans love him because he's so committed to the gimmick, to the bit. It's the same with Danhausen.
And I'm glad he got to keep the name, too. Santino, you know, normally, you know, they got to have a weird name they got to change to. I'm glad Santino got to keep his name.
Well, it's out from what I read. The copyright came up and he grabbed it. Yeah, so he owns it now, to my understanding.
So another thing that happened on that pay-per-view was our boy, Alpha Bravo, actually got into the ring.
No, I wish I could have called that.
I know Bravo for years. I'm talking about 20 plus years. So I know Bravo used to be a wrestler. But Bravo was like me. I'm retired. You know what I'm saying? So to see him get back in the ring, and Jordan inboxed us instantly like, Bravo's wrestling. We're like, wrestling.
Because was supposed to be the singles match. It was supposed to be PCO versus Dirty Dango. PCO was going for the PCO assault. Bravo runs in, grabs his ankle, makes him fall. Typical Dango Bravo Oleg stuff. They do a beatdown. Santino's music hits. You knew it was coming. Rhino comes out, makes the save. You know, that happens. You know a tag team match is coming. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, it's going to be Rhino and PCO versus Dango and Oleg. And it's going to be a solid, you know, back and forth, whatever. And then Bravo's going to try and interfere. He's going to get cut off. And then Rhino's going to hit a gore and they're going to win. But then Santino's like, no, it's going to be a six-man tag. And I'm like, that means Bravo's wrestling. Who's their partner? And then, you know, Jake Something's music hits. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. He should be on this card. And then they had, and you know, Bravo was in the match for his team more than anyone else.
Nice.
He was probably in the match a good 75%. And he took so much offense.
Yeah, that PCO bit in the corner there was rough.
Yeah, that leg drop was rough. He took a gore. He took a moonsault.
Shout out to you, Bravo. We love you. Yeah. But we're going to talk about this when we get you back on commentary. Please believe it.
Yeah, Bravo
Bravo
covered like 3 years of not wrestling in one match with all the bumps he took.
Well, guys, there's one more thing I want to talk about. And, you know, we got to talk about the positives. We got to talk about the negatives. And if you don't want to say it, I'll say this. Ash by Elegance. I guess everything can't be a hit. And, you know, you guys might have liked it, but I just thought, I mean, I know she was Dana Brooke in WWE. She was, a fitness trainer, something to that degree, workout person. I don't know. To me, it already does not connect. I mean, maybe it will. You got to give it time. Yeah. She was just on Busted Open Radio yesterday, and she was trying to explain the gimmick to Bully Ray, because Bully Ray kind of was like, he didn't get it either. Like, you know, like, is that your name? Is your middle name Bi? Like, what is that? Is Elegance your last name? And she tried to explain it, and then she said that she's always been an elegant woman, a very beautiful, pretty. And I get it, but we've had that gimmick before. I want to see how she makes it her own. Slick Willie, what do you think about that?
Well, look, here's the thing. So we haven't seen much from her besides that classic debut at ringside, watching your future opponents, you know what I mean? Which is fine. That's not a bad way to debut anybody. It's a classic. But I'll say this. Did anything about the debut wow me? It did not. can she move beyond my initial and people's initial feelings about the debut and wind up carving out a place for herself in the new TNA? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm willing to, I think people need to be more willing to give it a shot before we start completely. You know what I mean? It's okay to judge the debut. Let's not judge the entire package yet. We haven't seen it. We don't know.
Yeah, don't listen. Don't try to be all diplomatic. Tell them what you said you saw in the comments about her.
Well, I will say that. So this was not from me. This was not from anybody I personally know.
He said it to you. Don't sign him. No.
Yeah, somebody online, I'm sure on Reddit or Twitter or some other place where we should not listen to people, said that it looked like if you ordered Toni Storm from Wish, which is not the most pleasant thing to say about anybody's debut. That being said, I get where the mentality is. Is it a nasty comment? Yeah, kind of. But I get where the mentality is, because here we do have Toni Storm, right? We've got Toni Storm. She's been rocking this new gimmick over in AEW, where she's kind of this like this raised starlet. You know, yeah. She's got the robes and the, you know, she's throwing shoes at Renee Young, and it's worked for her. I didn't think that was going to work either.
It's the first time I've been interested in Toni Storm.
Beyond her abilities in ring, which I've enjoyed, it's as a character, yes, 100%. It's the first time I've been interested. But I don't, you know, and if you look at the presentation of Ash by Elegance, it's pretty similar right out of the gate. I got to say, we're not doing everything the same, but it feels pretty samey to what we're doing with Toni Storm with Timeless right now. So I get that reaction. I think now at this point, if the plan, I hope the plan wasn't to debut her as kind of the same thing. We've certainly seen wrestling companies take something that's going on. We've seen it. It is what it is. I hope that if that was the plan, they're able to take a look at what's going on with the buzz online, comments like Wish Toni Storm. And I'm not saying you got to listen to everything online, but there's enough talk about this debut and the way it was handled to where I think you can pivot at this point. You can maintain whatever the look and the vibe of the character was going to be without copying verbatim what Toni Storm is doing now. I think there's a chance to pull it together, and I you know, hopefully they're able to do it. But was I wowed by it? No.
Now I want to shift gears right quick. We've been talking about the pay-per-view, but I want to talk about TNA moving forward. We just talked to Jack Price about what he plans for 2024. And Jordan, like you said, you've done production for two of their shows already, and probably definitely more to come. TNA is traveling, man. They're going to Windsor. They're going all over the country. Like I said, they were just in Las Vegas. And if you listen to the scuttlebutt on the internet, people are starting to give TNA a little bit more love than they're giving AEW. So what do you think, man, with all this traveling? Like I said, they're going between America and Canada right now. They just signed a deal with AAA, so we know they're going to be in Mexico more. What do you think about that, Jordan? Like, how big do you think the new TNA can get?
I legitimately think that if everything keeps going the way it is, if these partnerships, you know, they did that NFL alumni thing that they were talking about, they announced recently that there's new action figures coming. You know, these are all steps in the right direction. And I think if they can really snag some like big dog sponsors to, you know, keep pushing the product, and if they keep putting on the consistency that they do, I really think, you know, they could move up, keep going. Are they going to catch WWE? I mean, no one is. Like, right. At this stage in the game, it's not going to happen. It's somewhat, you can get comparable, and you can have shows that will be massive. You know, your overseas shows or your big pay-per-views. Like, you know, Hard to Kill was their biggest commercial gate for a pay-per-view and a TV taping. They just announced, and then I know Tom on commentary specifically said that Hard to Kill was the most attended TNA Impact event in over 8 years. And I think a lot of it has to do with the state of professional wrestling as it is, because there is so much variety. There is your WWE, your AEW, your TNA, Ring of Honor, all your indies. And I think the thing that sets both TNA and AEW apart is their, you know, their one-off appearances for people. Their Kenta showing up at Bound for Glory to face Sabin, and things
the
like that.
The cross-promotional stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that's going to always entice people that WWE doesn't really have. I mean, very, very occasionally what we had Jushin Thunder Liger that one time in that great match with Tyler Breeze. That's something that's always going to entice people. And it's something that, you know, the AAA thing, some people don't like luchadors. Some people do like luchadors. Some people are neutral on luchadors. But you always know it's going to be cool. Like, you might not follow a luchador because it's just not your style. But, you know, they're going to get in the ring and they're going to do some cool stuff. And we've been seeing that. We saw, you know, Laredo Kid was slotted in for Trent Seven when he couldn't make it into that tag title match. And he looks great. For you know, he didn't have much time to prepare. Him and Speedball had never tagged together, but they looked good. And I the consistency is paying off, and I think it's going to continue to pay off. And they're not jumping the gun. They're not like, oh, we're back. Let's go book the AT&T Center, or, you know, let's go book a 30,000 seater place, because it wouldn't work at this stage. But they're slowly getting bigger venues. The Palm Springs in Vegas was distinctly bigger, and they filled it. They filled it two nights in a row. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the signs that you see something is moving in the right direction. And even on social media, you're seeing less people go, oh, TNA, what's Zig Dolfer doing in the Impact Zone?
That goofy stuff.
You know, yeah. And people were like, oh, Nick Nemeth there. Like, they weren't joking about it.
Yeah.
And like, to go back to the Ash by Elegance thing, was it maybe a Misfire debut? Maybe should we got some vignettes or something to like, to prelude it, to like show that it was different than Timeless Tony Storm? I think if anything, it might end up being more of like how Emelina's character was, where she's like, because when I think of the name, I think of like Ash, like a perfume or something,
right?
A
fragrance.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think that of the three main divisions, the TNA Knockouts division is the one that she's going to have the best chance in.
Oh, absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's a combo of their quality. I mean, we had three women's matches on that show on Hard to Kill, which was a not counting the. The pre-show was, well, again, 7 or 8 match card. Like, so a third of it was women's knockouts matches. I mean, that's sometimes more than we get on a 4-hour WWE big show. So I think if anything, she's going to have a chance to succeed there. Will she? I don't know. It could go over great. You know, it could be one of those things where, you know, a former WWE star goes there and people are like, oh, what are they grabbing this person for? Like, they weren't even that big there. And then they turn them into something. And then in, you know, 4 years, WWE's like, come back, please. We like mm-hmm. you now.
Well,
how many times have we seen that?
I'm actually glad, though, a lot of the people that did make the decision, because I was looking online. Some people were like, oh, I'm surprised Dolph didn't go to AEW. But I think he made the right decision. Because if he goes to AEW, he might have got a hot little start for the first month. Then he would have been like a lot of the other guys on Collision, on Rampage, in a battle royal, teaming with somebody just because he was in WWE, if he was even getting work. So I think this really spotlights him. It's going to push him like it did right to the main event. Yeah. And you just talked about the knockouts division. To this day, and I don't get it twisted, WWE finally has a strong women's division, AEW as well. But for years.
Tag division.
Yeah. For years, people have always said, no matter what, Impact Wrestling /TNA has had the best and the most competitive women's division ever. If you go back to many years ago, the Beautiful People, you remember them, were the highest rated segment, I think, still to this day in mm-hmm. TNA history. And, you know, back in the day, you know, obviously it's a different time we're in now. WWE used to do the bra and panties and all that. Impact always was doing wrestling. Now, I'm not mm-hmm. saying they didn't throw some sexy stuff in there, but they definitely were always having their ladies wrestle. WWE just kind of got into that in the last, what, couple years with Charlotte and Bianca. In the last 5 years, they've really been, you know,
wrestling. it was when the women took off in NXT.
Right.
That we started to see the main rosters pick up, and then they went there. But I mean, yeah, the knockoffs, like, it was a time, even when, you know, when it was cool to hate on TNA because they were the, you know, Hogan was there and running into the ground and whatnot. Everyone still talked about how great their knockouts division was. It didn't matter, you know, how whatever the rest of the show was. The knockouts division was always been and always has been good. There's outliers, obviously, but of course there are. But like, if you look at the talent they have there, I mean, Jordan Grace is the new knockouts champion. What a great person to carry that into the new year. I love
Jordan Grace. I've been a big fan of hers. She did get mad at me on Twitter one time because I might have tweeted her and asked the question. I said, "What is Jonathan Gresham's gimmick? I don't get it." And she was very defensive for her dude and felt the need to rebut. And all her fans was dropping bullets at me for the rest of the night, which is all good. Helped my engagement. But, yeah, but I'm still a big Jordan Grace fan, man. But even beyond that.
Now, she's also way younger than I had realized. Not that I thought she was older, but she's only 27.
Yeah, yeah. I think Mark Henry found her, if I'm not mistaken.
Now, she is from Austin, Texas, so that does track.
Now, Willie, I want to get to you real quick about this before we get out of here. Now, we just talked about them moving forward. If you're a casual fan, because the biggest problem that any other wrestling promotion has besides WWE is people knowing that they're actually there. I mean, Kevin Nash said when he was in TNA, people said, "Hey, Kevin, good to see you, man. When you getting back in the ring?" And he was like, "Mofo, I've been wrestling for 3 years on TNA." But nobody, you know, you couldn't get the casual fan to do that. And even to this day, AEW has the same problem with some of their stars. You know, Sting and all that. If you're the promoter, I know that's a hard crown to wear, a hard cross to bear. But if you were the promoter, what would you do to really try to get the casual fan? Because let's be honest, that's what's going to get them out of 2,000 seat arenas to 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 seat arenas. What would you do to get them in there?
So, I mean, ultimately, my number one thing would obviously be figuring out more exposure TV-wise, a different network. I'm not trying to crap on Access. I'm not. That's not my goal here. My goal here is to, you asked how to get, you know, more of a casual audience, and that's part of it. But I want to talk beyond that real quick, right? Beyond TV deals. I was given a piece of advice a long time ago, and you guys have probably received this advice or similar advice, and this, I think, applies to what TNA is doing right now. To really, truly succeed, you need to be one of three things. You need to be first, you need to be best, or you need to be different, okay? They're not the first, and they'll never be the first. They're not the best, and I'm using these because we've talked about this. WWE is WWE. They're always going to have the bigger budget. They're always going to have – they are what they are. They're a monolith, okay? But what can they be? They can be different. And I do think that TNA – over the last couple of years, while it was Impact still, has been carving out a certain piece of that wrestling viewership pie for itself. I think it's had an uphill battle because I don't think it's been in enough homes to quite reach where it can reach. That being said, I do think it's carved out its own identity for itself. TNA shows, and we'll see how it changes moving forward with the rebranding, but TNA shows have a certain feel. There's a certain vibe, and I can't tell you exactly what ingredients are in that cocktail to make it that TNA cocktail, but it's there, and it's true, and it's real. And I think that anytime there's been a legitimate, I don't want to say competitor, a legitimate alternative for the big boys, for WWE, those legitimate alternatives, whether it was WCW back during its great heights that it reached, whether it was TNA early on. Jordan, you just talked about a story you had heard regarding how Vince was a little bit uncomfortable with the emergence of TNA. And for the first couple of years there was a lot of talk about, is this, I hate to say the new WCW, but is this going to be the new major competitor for WWE? And I think it was there when AEW first started, the first couple of years of AEW as well. It was different. They were doing something different. They were providing an alternative. Even NXT became an alternative. Even though it is a WWE product, it became an alternative for people who weren't happy with what they were watching with WWE because it was different. It felt different, presented different. We had different types of wrestling, different types of stars. So if TNA can continue to establish that it is its own beast that is different from what else is out there, whether it be WWE, AEW, whatever, and if they can somehow find a way to get more viewership, however that is, and I am no TV deal expert, that's not my forte. If they can be different, they will attract viewers. They will attract new viewers. They'll attract people who aren't even interested in wrestling, I think. Yeah. People who have never really shown an interest in that. I think it's doable, and I think they can do it. I don't know what that cocktail is, but I think they can make it happen. So,
Jordan, would you like to expound on that as well?
I think you're 100% right. You know, look at where NXT died. And current NXT is good. It's back to being good. NXT Black and Gold, you know, people will argue is one of the best, what, 3-4 year runs of a promotion ever.
Yes.
Ever. And they rebranded to 2.0, whatever, do what you gotta do. But it just became WWE Lite.
Yeah.
Look at WCW. Started different. They were, you know, more edgy. They were whatever, whatever, whatever. But then they became WWF Lite. And look at original TNA. Different. AJ Styles, six-sided ring, crazy King of the Mountain matches, whatever. Hogan, Bischoff, whoever.
Yeah.
WWE Lite. And now we're hearing that from AEW fans. Whether, you know, they're saying that it's just becoming, you know, not ripping off or per se, but I mean, in wrestling, they say everything gets ripped off by everything. It has lost a lot of its identity as AEW. You can't flip on AEW now and look at it and excluding logos. You don't look at it and go, oh yeah, that's AEW.
Yeah.
Like if you're just scrolling through, it kind of looks just like WWE again. They don't have the double tunnels anymore, I don't think, right?
Right.
Well, they've lost some of that identity that made them so popular in the first place.
Exactly.
I agree with you. Yeah.
And when I think about promotions that did their own thing and succeeded, you know, I think I've talked about it with both of you. I think Lucha Underground is one of the coolest things in wrestling ever.
Yeah.
It was its own thing. It was its own universe. It steered into the soap opera silliness, and it was beautiful. And I think it was always a short-term thing. I think just that concept wouldn't last permanently unless you really consistently freshed up the cast like soap operas tend to do. But if TNA can stay different, if it looks different, if you're flipping through and you stumble upon it and you're like, well, wait, that's not WWE. What is this? Like,
yeah.
And I think, you know, that was always the draw of the X Division match. That was the draw of the six-sided ring. It's why people want the six-sided ring back. And now I know from what I've heard, you know, the six-sided ring really screwed with people. Like
a lot of people said that, yeah.
It was hard to bump in. It was hard to move in. Do I think they should do an annual show where they bust it out? I do.
Real quick, not to cut you off, but I agree. If you remember, even when they were Impacts, do you remember One Night Onlys, the TNA, the Impact would do? Mm-hmm. There were one night pay-per-views, and they would call themselves TNA just for that one $9.95 all over again. So I think that would be something special to do it just one time. Because even as I told Jack earlier with that IPWF, obviously it was non-canon. It was goofy, but it was
it's
fun.
So funny. It's so fun.
It was so fun.
And that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like going back to like how Lucha Underground is. Like that's what that was. Like you could flip on and you'd be like, oh, that's Ricochet. Oh, okay, he's a prince. He's Puma. Cool. Or you know, and now like, oh, you go back and watch it. Oh, that's Karrion Kross. Oh, look at him. He's like a gangster mob type dude. They made Jake Hager cool. Like.
Oh, he was in there too. I didn't know he was in.
Not for long. They made Ezekiel Jackson cool. Like,
well, you know, Jordan, what I wanted to say real quick is the last time I remember this amount of buzz, and it was a different kind of buzz, but this amount of buzz being around the Impact / TNA promotion was during the Broken Matt Hardy era.
Yes.
That, because, but once again, what was that? It was different.
It was so good.
And it brought people, like, there were people, I had people sending me text messages that have never been into wrestling. They know who Hulk Hogan is. I mean, they had the briefest passing understanding of what wrestling is. Texting me YouTube clips going, what the hell is this? Because it was becoming viral. You know,
it was amazing. It was beautiful. You guys,
they said, do you remember the first big match? What was it called? I forget their match.
The Final Deletion.
Final Deletion. They said in the WWE, they literally would do 30-minute circuits of people watching it. Guys would have their match and run back to the locker room, and they would sit there and watch TNA Impact Wrestling, to where Vince was like, what are you guys doing? And then, you know, because they did it out in the open, to where Vince was like, we got to get them back. Fine, we'll get them back. But that's how big it was at that point. So you're right. I definitely think they can make something happen.
And the fan base is there. I mean, with you were at Bound for Glory. One of the things that I got to do both times that I worked the shows is before show, you know, as fans are coming in, I worked a little bit at the merch table. And you would think, as an outsider or as someone who, you know, only watches the bigger shows, in quotations again, that maybe their merch doesn't move very well. Or something like that. You know, you don't go out and you don't see Josh Alexander shirts as much as one should, or something like that. The fans that go to those shows are so committed to TNA Impact. Like, I was watching people buy 10 shirts at a time, and their shirts aren't comparable to when you go to a WWAW show in price. They might be a little bit cheaper, but it's not by much. I mean, there were people, you know, buying pieces, like they cut up the ring mat from Bound for Glory, the canvas, and were selling, you know, hunks of that with like a poster, and it was signed, and they sold out.
I'm a
sucker
for that stuff, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
All that, anything that's like a piece of history, oh my God.
It's on my wall. Like, I got one.
Sorry.
But like, I helped cut the squares. Like, we cut, God, 1,000, if not more, of those little squares of the canvas, and they sold all of them. The fans who are behind TNA are ravenous for that company, and they're ravenous for that company to succeed. And that's one of the things that's going to make a difference. You're going to have fans who are at every show, and you're going to have fans who, when you come back, like, you're going to have those fans that TNA's in Chicago this week. I bet blah, blah, blah is going to be at ringside. You know, just like with WWE, I bet green shirt guy is going to be at ringside. but they're going to start to drive out niches in territories, locations, and you're going to have those same fans that are there. You know, oh, they're in Orlando this week. You know, these fans are going to be there and that sort of thing. And it does have, you know, kind of ECW energy in that sense, where the fans are extremely behind it. You know, they will defend it online. I genuinely believe that, maybe not by the end of this year, because, you know, a year is a short time in the life of something like this.
Right.
But within the next 2 to 5 years, I don't know if it's, you know, going to meet AEW in terms of week to week. Obviously, I think that AEW's big shows, you know, your All Out, are going to continue to just crush numbers, especially when they do things like go to Wembley and that sort of jazz. But is the week to week going to keep going up? And is it going to meet it? Is it going to match it? I don't know. You know, you can't tell. You never know what's going to happen. Is that big, huge TV deal going to come through and all of a sudden they're on Fox or something? Like, you know, who knows? Like, right, that would obviously make a huge difference. But I think within 5 years, they're going to have that, all the work that they've done to take off Global Force Wrestling, to shake off the, you know, the, oh, it's all 60 plus old wrestler guys in charge.
Well, guys,
they're doing it. And they're doing it with people like Jordan Grace. They're doing it with like people like Jack Price. They're doing it with people like Giselle Shaw, while keeping those staples, your Motor City Machine Guns, your Moose, and bringing in guys like Nemeth. And they're shaking it off. They're polishing it up. And consistently, it looks better. You know, their camera work is getting tighter. Their cuts are getting tighter. Their audio is getting better. Matt and Tom are fantastic on commentary together. You know, that's as a commentator, like that's something that I pay attention a lot to, and they're one of my favorite teams to listen to. Cause they're consistent and they work well together, and they don't, you know, laugh during matches and cut each other off and things like that.
Real man. Well, guys, we could talk about TNA for another 2 hours, but we gotta cut it out right quick. Before we go, I want to shout out Z Bros Championship Belts. They did an amazing job of the rebranding for the TNA belts. They actually made me a belt in their first generation of belts, probably about 10 years ago. Listen, those belts are awesome. And, you know, you talked about earlier the production value. Everything aesthetically with TNA is getting so much better, because one thing WWE always had was great production. Those documentaries and everything were awesome.
Oh, gosh. Nothing compares.
TNA is doing their job to try to get to somewhat of that level. So I'm proud of them for that, man.
And I'm a belt guy. Like especially over the last 2 years, I've really become a belt guy. I got to design a belt. You know, I just started really collecting belts. I only have a couple. And I was watching those belts get like released day to day. And Whip, you and I, and we have a chat, the three of us. Whip, you and I sent to that chat the exact same picture of the Knockouts Championship. Yeah. Almost at the exact same time, talking about how beautiful it was. And those two belts, the TNA world and the Knockouts world, and I'm partial to the tag straps. I love a red belt, but a white strap, it's the best. Those are my two.
Don't have a joy gasm on camera, brother. What are you doing, dog?
Those are my two favorite current belts.
That's what's up.
In each field, in a men's division and a women's division. They look big time. They're not overtly in your face. The logo is like really integrated nicely, which is a combination of the design and the production. And then, you know, the white strap, it puts it over the top for me. But they are, in terms of like men's and women's fields, they're top of the line in my opinion.
Nice. Well, Slick Willie, before we get out of here, if you want to let people know how they can get a hold of you, what you got going on, I know you got a podcast yourself. Kind of kick it with everybody real quick.
It's a great podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm halfway through the Freddy versus Jason episode.
Did you?
I'm halfway through it, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, no, hey, look, there's a pro wrestling horror crossover there. Like, we've seen a lot of great horror gimmicks in pro wrestling. We've seen a lot of pro wrestlers show up in horror movies, right? Kane, See No Evil, you know? I got to do that once.
A good movie,
anyway,
honestly.
Check out horror. Horror Movie Yearbook. That's my podcast. Me and my co-host Tim, we break down horror movies from different decades, talk about them in the context of the year, the decade they were released, a little bit, give some history. It's a ton of fun. We've been doing it for a long time. HorrorMovieYearbook.com. We're on iTunes. You can check us out there. We're on Spotify and on YouTube. Horror Movie Yearbook. That's the place to check it out.
And you could also check them out on our boy. Our little homie, our mascot, Maverick. You were just on his podcast as well. What's the name of it again?
Outside the Ring?
Check him out on that, man.
He's a good guy.
I'm still waiting for that call to get on the yearbook and do some Five Nights at Freddy's.
I have a written down like a whiteboard list of things we have to do. And it keeps gradually making its way up. So
be prepared. I can drop an 8-hour TED Talk on FNAF right now.
as soon as it happens, you'll be the first to know. I promise.
Jordan, what you got coming up, man? How can I get a hold of you, bro?
Yes, I am Jordan J. Scavone on all socials. My website's down. I'm dealing with that, so don't worry about that. I am a 6-time Amazon best-selling author with 5 children's books and 1 reverse portal urban fantasy novel. I'm also a casual cartoonist. We'll do a plug because this is live. I will be at IshoCon at the end of the month. I should have brought this up so that I know exactly the date.
Well, he's bringing it up.
January 26th through the 28th, 2024, at the Sheraton Detroit Novi Hotel. It's a brand new con. This is their first time doing it. The guys in charge of it, they run the Otaku Detroit anime game shop. They're awesome dudes. And Metro Detroit area needs a new anime convention. I won't get into that right now. If you know, you know. And this is going to be a big deal con in the next 5 years. John St. John, Duke Nukem's going to be there. Some other awesome anime voice actors are going to be there. I'll be there with my books and some art. A lot of phenomenal vendors are going to be there. So go check that out. IshoCon. ISSHOCon coming up at the end of the month.
If you get the flyer to me, we make sure we get it on our page as well, okay?
Yeah. I'll send you the whole event page so you can
Sounds good. Well, guys, thank you for coming on. And TNA, I want to tell you personally, you have an open door to this platform anytime you want to. I've had Bravo on before, AJ Francis, whoever. It's an open platform. We're proud of what you're doing there. And the whole Whip Show crew will continue to be watching. We know. There it is. We know what you guys got coming up. So like I said,
I just got to get my new hat now with the new logo.
Right.
There it is.
You know you can check the show out on all platforms, the Whip Show podcast. Just put it in Google. Just put in Whip Dog. I'm pretty much everywhere. I'm like the greatest D-list celebrity of all time. I do everything and nothing at the same time. So just check me out. And we'll
get dollar back. Getting recognized at the Dollar Tree.
Exactly, man. With that being said, thank you very much for joining the show, the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders Podcast, aka The Whip Show. See you next time. Take care.